American. Thank you for the tissue, but I think it's too late. I can't go to the cocktail party with a big old slobber mark on my shoulder. No, indeed, the white-haired woman agreed. Such a shame, too. The detail on the embroidery is lovely. Beaded as well. It was made just for tonight, I mourned with her. You'll probably want to hurry if you intend on having time to meet people at the party, she suggested as she started off toward the elevators. I just came from there, and I don't believe it is scheduled to last much longer. Hell, I swore as I glanced down at my watch. I had slept 3 hours, with my mouth open, drooling, where everyone could see me. I slunk out of the lobby and escaped to my room, did a quick change from my lovely beaded hand-embroidered silk blouse into a plain black one, ignored the wrinkles in my pleated wool skirt, and dashed back downstairs to the party. Deep breath, I told myself as I stood in the doorway and assessed the situation. Probably no one saw you sleeping. Probably no one will recognize you at all. Probably no one will talk to you, and you'll spend a long, lonely weekend by yourself. An outcast. A pariah. A public drooler. I girded my mental loins and stepped into the room, dodging scattered tables and smiling hopefully at the groups of people clutching drinks as they laughed and chatted amiably, all the while searching desperately for other lost souls like myself who didn't know anyone there. I searched in vain, but my family code has always been that appearance is everything, so I slapped a confident, I'm not scared to death of being halfway around the world in a room full of people I don't know and can barely understand. Oh, no, I'm not, smile on my face, and marched over to the bar to ask for something without alcohol. I'm not at my best when I drink. I flush and get silly and very, very sleepy, which is not at all the sort of impression one wishes to make at a gathering of one's peers. As I turned away from the bar, I noticed a man next to the door leaning up against the wall watching the crowd. Aha! I muttered to my tonic and lime, someone else who doesn't know everyone here. A very large someone, too, with a marvelous white woolly sweater. A woman nearby glanced over her shoulder at me standing in front of the bar talking to no one. I'm writing dialogue, I told her. Mentally, and, out loud, of course. I'm a writer. We do that. She pursed her lips in a pained expression of disbelief, and made sure not to make eye contact with me for the rest of the evening. I shrugged and turned back to give the old once-over to the guy standing against the wall. He really was a sight to make the mouth water. A big, burly sight in a lovely sweater and dark brown corduroy pants. But what intrigued me was the expression he wore. This was plainly a man who was not having fun. He looked bored to tears and kind of lonely standing there holding up the wall all by himself. I decided it was my duty to further Anglo-American relations by helping him. So I wandered over in what I hoped was a nonchalant manner, flashed him an, I'm not flirting with you, just being friendly, all in the furtherance of goodwill between nations and not at all because you are an extremely dishy man, smile, and parked myself next to him. We stood that way for about 5 minutes, just watching the crowd, me sipping on my tonic and lime, he occasionally peering morosely into a pint of beer. Tush, he said finally, making that curious noise of derision that only the Scots seem to make, and drained the last of his beer. You read mysteries then, do you? He asked me without turning his head. I almost melted on the spot. I had lucked out and how. A Scot. A real live, woolly sweater-wearing, brogue thick enough you could trot a horse on it, Scot. Right next to me. My knees went a bit weak. I love Scotsmen. I love everything about them. I love the way they talk. I love the way they dress. I love that wonderful little noise they make in the backs of their throats. And I love the way they smell. Yes, it's true. They have a smell all their own, and it's glorious. To me, Scottish men smell like the outdoors, with an overtone of bagpipe and an amusing little hint of something wild and craggy and utterly...